Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Want to talk about Kamala Harris and her effort to keep people in jail as cheap labor for $2 a day when she was the attorney general in California, when the courts ordered the Justice Department there to release prisoners. And she argued that, hey, they work for the state for $2 a day. This would hurt the state. So that's a perfect example of a liberal, right? That's funny. And what they had the inmates doing was forest fire mitigation. And believe it or not, when I was in jail in Boulder County, I've spent about 6 months of my life incarcerated. They had inmates going up to Sugarloaf Mountain where there had been a fire and putting up fire retention fences. And I got to do that with the llamas and the llama caretakers, who happen to be young, beautiful women sent off into the mountains with all these criminals. Just bizarre. So we want to talk about that. Panera Bread, their Panera Cares, 5 restaurants, Boston, St. Louis, elsewhere, where there was no price on the meals. You just pay whatever you thought you wanted to help world hunger. They're closing the last one in 2 days from now on Friday. And then Jussie Smollett, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I never heard of him until he beat himself up in Chicago late at night, 2 in the morning, below freezing. He's a homosexual actor. And he beats himself up and says it was a hate crime. And so he now should be charged with a hate crime. Isn't that true? If he's saying that some kind of a white, conservative, Christian, somebody who's against blacks and against homosexuals were racist and bigoted and beat him up. Well, since he beat himself up, and boy, did he beat himself to a pulp. I mean, he broke his ribs. Oh, wait, no. He said his ribs were broken and that he went to the hospital, but he never did go to the hospital and his ribs weren't broken. That's just one of the parts of his story that he's had to admit was not true. And he said that he fought off these two guys. He fought off these two Trump supporters who were against blacks and against homosexuals. Now, I'm against homosexuals. I love blacks, love Jews, love Asians, Hispanics, love Europeans, love my neighbor as myself, like God says. I even love my enemy. I even love my enemy, but human beings are complex, and we could love and hate at the same time. So if the Germans are putting your family members into concentration camps and shooting others and dumping their bodies into shallow graves, you could hate them with a godly hatred. God in the Bible repeatedly talks about hating the wicked. So you could hate them, but also love them enough to hope that they repent and hope that they get right before God in the next 3 seconds before you put a bullet in their head. You could hope that if you're in the middle of World War II and you're one of the people surviving in the forest, the underground, and you're about to kill a Nazi, you could hope that they repent. And given the right opportunity, if the Nazi is captured, he's about to be executed, he's going to be executed in an hour, and you have a chance to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him, you could do that and hope that he will respond to God's offer of forgiveness. But at the same time, you could still hate him, as God in the Bible says many times that he hates the wicked, but he also loves them enough to die for them and to offer them eternal life. He loves them that much. And in the Bible, we see God's people. David said, Lord, do I not hate those who hate you? So the Christian, effeminate, nicer than God worldview is all messed up. But this Jussie Smollett, or however you pronounce his name, I never heard of him before. He beat himself to a pulp in Chicago on a freezing cold night just, 2 weeks ago. Now he's become uber famous around the world. there's all kinds of surveillance video showing him, you know, at the Subway. He comes out of the Subway with the sandwich he purchased there to bring to his apartment, condo, whatever. And there's surveillance video as he's walking home, whatever it is, I don't know, a block or two. It's freezing cold. And there's no video of an assault, but he says that he fought off the two guys. He fought them off. They put a noose around his neck. He walks into his apartment building, and there he is on surveillance camera. There's a security guy right there. Doesn't make any expression of, hey, I was just attacked. And he's still got the rope around his neck. You'd think you'd take that off if somebody tried to strangle you. You think that might be one of the first things you do. And he's still holding the bag with a Subway sandwich. That's pretty cool. That's like Spider-Man or Neo in, what's that called, The Matrix? Our YouTube video, Get Out of the Matrix. If you haven't seen that, you might want to see it. But it's like Neo holding one hand behind his back and fighting off two racist bigots. And then he just walks home passively carrying his Subway sandwich. So he's guilty of a hate crime, and he should be charged not just with giving false statements to the police, making a false report. He should be charged with a hate crime against whites, right? And against fundamentalist Christians, and against Muslims, for that matter, who throw homosexuals off cliffs. I mean, that'd be a hate crime he's committed against, well, let's just call it about 2 billion people if you added them all up. Somewhere around 2 billion people. All right. So then you have, oh, and by the way, this is our telethon month here at Bob and Yurt Live, where we cover the news the way Jesus did in the Gospels. Not everything the Lord said, of course, was recorded in the four Gospels. In fact, John says that if we recorded everything that Jesus did, God the Son, that the world could not contain the books. So that could be considered a figure of speech unless you take God's eternal history into account. And God, having existed for eternity past, truly the world could not contain the books that would describe everything he's ever done. So the four Gospels, like any good historian, chooses mostly what to leave out and then records the particulars that tell what the historian thinks is the important aspects of what has transpired in the past. So the four Gospels do that, and they don't report everything that Jesus said, of course. But we do read, like in Luke chapter 13, Jesus giving a couple news headlines. He gives the news headline, maybe the lead of the story, and then he draws the moral lesson from it, like the Galileans who were murdered by Pilate when they were going to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices at the temple. And then the tower in Jerusalem, in the part of the city known as Siloam, the Tower of Siloam that fell and killed 18 people. Jesus talked about that too. And then he drew spiritual lessons from those headlines. And that's the model we use here at Bob and Yurt Live. And we've been doing this now for 28 years, 5 days a week. In the early years of this show, in the early decades, we took calls, over 10,000 callers in total, when we went to a short form of a half-hour program. For the most part, we stopped taking callers, occasional guests. And when people go out of their way to want to call in, they can do that, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And that's the same number, by the way, to help with the telethon or to order any of our resources. So we've spent these 28 years asking God to help us to take the news of the day in a timeless way, in a way that evaluates the underlying principles, so that we could have the smartest audience in the country. And why would it be that our audience, say, might be smarter than Rush Limbaugh's audience, or Sean Hannity's, or Hugh Hewitt's audience, or Dennis Prager's, or so on. Well, if you begin with a biblical worldview, Hugh Hewitt said on Monday his worldview was that America was the greatest country. And basically, just with that statement, he has transferred his loyalty from God to his patriotism. That's what he's done. So if America does things that are immoral, let's say Hewitt's party, the Republicans, fully funding Planned Parenthood, putting pro-choice judges on the federal bench and filling the Supreme Court with justices who reject the unborn child's right to life. So if his party does those things, his country does those things, he'll defend his country. Instead of, as we see in the scriptures, the prophets and the apostles, they criticized their own nation and their own leaders, their own religious leaders even, far more than they criticized the other nations and the godless, far more their own side. And Jesus criticized who? He criticized the religious who were hypocrites in his own side, and the Herodians, right? They were a political party who, like the Republicans today, Jesus condemned the publicans. So today we've got a lot of conservatives who thought, well, let's try that again. They call themselves the Republicans. And the Herodians, they were the political party at the time of the Lord who thought that we need to have a pragmatic solution, the lesser of two evils. Yes, Herod murders the innocent, but he's a lot better than Rome. He's a lot better than Pilate. So let's hold our nose and give political support to Herod's dynasty. They were the Herodians. And Jesus would condemn these people. So with a biblical worldview, instead of a partisan or patriotic political worldview, we could be more objective in our support or condemnation of any particular politician or policy statement or law or action, all of that. And so today, very, very controversial to say that Juicy Smollett beat himself up. And we said that on the show, Doug and I, on Monday. And that's about when some in the sort of second tier media started coming right out and saying, hey, this guy is just lying. But what you get from a biblically based talk show is what the punishment should be. The punishment shouldn't be just making false statements to the police. How do we know what the punishment should be? Well, the Bible says that the punishment for a false accuser should be just as severe as though they had been successful and the false accusation ended up getting someone else blamed and punished. So he's trying to get someone, even though it's just an anonymous, non-existent person, really, he's trying to get billions of people smeared with being haters and guilty of a hate crime. And some random passerbys, imagine if a couple actual Trump-supporting white guys were walking by with MAGA hats, imagine that, if they got them on a surveillance camera out in the freezing weather at 2 a.m, and they just happen to be in the same vicinity. Those guys, you think this Juicy Smollett would say, no, I made it up, they're innocent, if they were actually charged with the crime? So that's why the Bible says that he should be punished with the same severity that he was trying to bring on someone else. So he should be charged with the hate crime. And I realize that a lot of conservatives, a lot of Christians don't like the very notion of a hate crime. And they think, what does that mean? Like, if you murder somebody, isn't that a hate crime? And obviously, it's not a love crime. It's a hate crime if you murder someone or assault them. But if you abduct or kill people on a college campus, you are then causing that whole community, everyone on that campus, if you're just abducting women, you're causing all the women on that campus to be fearful. It's a form of terror. And if these are random attacks against, say, whites or blacks or Jews or whoever, Hispanics, and you're doing it intentionally to bring terror into the hearts of any number of the people in this group that you hate, then you're actually committing a crime against all those people, not just the crime against the individual. And so there is something appropriate, even though our culture lacks wisdom and they don't know right from wrong, there is something appropriate about having an additional punishment if your crime included a threat, a serious threat to many more people than the person you actually hurt or killed. So there is something to that, and Juicy Smollett needs to be charged with a hate crime for beating himself up to a pulp and putting himself in the hospital with broken ribs, even though, well, that didn't happen, but it was said it happened. And for walking in nonchalantly into his apartment complex with his Subway sandwich, you know, when you stage a hate crime, that meatball on whole wheat toasted with mozzarella cheese, that's still pretty good. So you don't want to lose that just because you're staging a hate crime. And the noose around your neck, hey, it's sort of cool, you know, looks cool, sort of goes with my shirt. So you wouldn't take that off. Could you imagine in real life if you're being attacked and somebody's putting something around your neck? I mean, the thought is they're going to choke you to death. Instantly, you'd pull that off your head. Instantly. You wouldn't leave it, fight them off with one hand behind your back, like in The Matrix, and then walk home with your Subway sandwich. So he's a liar. Panera Cares. Their idea, like Star Trek, right? On Star Trek. So the CEO, the owners of Panera Bread, they watch too much Star Trek, right? On Star Trek, they did away with money. Everything is basically free. Is that true? Everything is basically free? Oh, unless you want to go on the holodeck. That's going to cost you holodeck credits. And those credits, they could be saved up and traded. So it's a fantasy that human society can interact without money. And most people don't even know what money is. Money is the accounting of transferable, incomplete transactions. That's what money is. It's not gold. It's not silver, precious metals. They were used as money as a way to implement an accounting system. Money is the accounting of incomplete, transferable transactions. And so you could have totally paperless monetary system that has no precious metals, just completely information based on a database. That could be your monetary system. And that's actually preferable. One benefit to gold is that bad guys can't just make gold. They can't do that. And so they can't just lie and say, well, all you people owe me a lot of goods and services for all these incomplete transactions that I've been saving up. See, with gold, you can't make gold. So it's hard for criminals to steal by counterfeiting, not the currency, but the gold. That is a benefit to gold and silver, but that benefit is way offset by all the negatives of precious metal monetary system. And if you're interested in that, we have an article. It's not a long article. It's on one page on our website, kgov.com/money. If you're interested in what money is and how money works and what causes our economy to function. People think that money makes the economy go. And actually, when the Bible says serve one another, that's the foundation of an economy when people serve one another, and they could serve one another for money. That's the foundation of a functioning economy and a healthy economy. So the nuts over at Panera Bread, they started Panera Cares with 5 stores, and they said, you don't have to pay. It's just a requested donation. So some people would go in and, you know, they would cough up some money. Other people give a penny or a dollar. Some people give nothing. A suggested donation. Like, I remember we were in New York City last fall before we went to our Bible tour of Italy. And we were thinking about going to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And we heard, you know, it's a suggested donation. So we thought, suggested donation. But then on our way, we're walking through Manhattan. What a fabulous time we had talking to somebody. And they said, oh, it's only a suggested donation if you live in New York. Otherwise, you got to pay through the teeth. So we didn't go. We didn't go. But Panera Cares, they're closing down their fifth and last store on Friday. And so that's a lesson that in reality, liberalism is a lie. And what motivates it is rebellion against God and rebellion against his laws and the principles that he has revealed. So God established, thou shalt not steal, but liberals want the government to take ever increasing percentages of working people's income so they could distribute them to those who don't work and really distribute just like a round robin, just with the government being the middleman transferring money from the poor middle class to the well-off senior citizens and from senior citizens to just everybody gets something from the government so that the government is the middleman and takes a cut from every transaction. And that's liberalism. And Panera Cares was just one aspect of liberalism. So it's not surprising that it failed. You know, liberals think that human beings are basically good. And the Bible teaches that human beings have rebelled against God. And since the fall with Adam and Eve, human beings are immoral. And their primary failures are pride and selfishness, which obviously are related. But pride and selfishness. So that's why socialism fails. But interestingly, even if socialism didn't fail, even if it produced vast amounts of wealth, it would still be wrong because God said, do not murder. You might have a crime family, a mafiosa family, and maybe one of the nephews knocks off banks. He robs banks for a living. And he's made about $400,000 a year for the past 6 years. So he could argue, hey, my approach is doing rather well for me and my family. So it's irrelevant. If you're violating God, it doesn't matter how much money you make. That's irrelevant. But it just so happens, in addition to socialism spreading the poverty and making everyone more miserable, and the people who run the whole empire, making them wildly wealthy. Like this Altez, where does she live? She lives in a ghetto somewhere in the projects in Brooklyn or Altez. That if somebody's name has more than 10 syllables, you could condense it to the first and the last. So people call her AOC. I call her Altez. First syllable of her first name, last syllable of her last name, put it together, Altez. She's living in the project somewhere or lower middle income housing, or is she living in luxury housing? Well, what do you want to guess? And then Kamala Harris, another gal who wants to be the Democratic nominee for president, turns out that when the courts were ordering her as the attorney general in California to release inmates. Attorneys working for her filed an argument with the court saying, hey, we need this labor. We need this labor. We can't just release these inmates. You know, the labor program, it's $2 a day you get if you're an inmate. So you'd think, well, why would anybody do that? I did that when I was at Boulder County Jail. I was an inmate there for about 2 months. And you get about $2 a day. You either get that or you get nothing. And you could use the $2 to buy ramen noodles. You know, they were like 10 cents for a whole pack for a meal. So you get 20 ramen noodles for working for a day. Hey, It's like a bonanza if you're an inmate. And you get to get out of the jail, and you get to get out in nature. And that's what, so I did it. We'd go up on Sugarloaf Mountain where there had been a forest fire, and it'd be about a dozen inmates. And we'd go with two young women. They were probably like 28, 30 years old, these women. And they were the owners, the caretakers of these llamas. Now, why would there be llamas? Why would llamas be involved? Well, if you're going to go up, if you're going to hike about 45 minutes to an hour up into the mountains to do soil retention and mitigation, put in these little 12-inch-high fences for hundreds of yards. If you're going to do that, well, it's heavy stuff. You got to carry the metal rods that you bang into the ground with a sledgehammer, and you got to carry the vinyl fencing and all. And then, of course, you got to carry your food and your drinks. That's very important. And so the Boulder County Jail, because they don't spend enough of our money, they would hire these women with their llamas to carry up our lunch and all the equipment and supplies. And we'd hike in for an hour. And then we'd get there, and you're supposed to work. And the inmates would all say, hey, we're tired. We need a nap. We need a nap. So everybody lays down and takes a nap, right? Have lunch at 10 in the morning, take a nap, wake up, eat something else. You got to put in a fence. Oh, and so you got inmates working as slow as they could humanly work, and trying to flirt with the women who own the llamas. And so it's a big catastrophe. But anyway, Kamala Harris, being a good liberal, and liberals don't want people to pay for their crimes, typically, that's required to be a liberal, she wants to keep people incarcerated, keep them in prison, because they're cheap labor for California's forest management, cheap labor. So that's come out about her. So, hey, at Bob and Yurt Live, we do our best. Please pray for us with God's help to discuss the news in a way that reinforces our understanding of biblical principles. Please help out the telethon, kgov.com. May God bless you.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
This is Bob Enyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.